the neo-post-apocalyptic wasteland, the last video store on Earth still spreads the lost art of cinema. But during the month of October, its employees and some special guests shine a spotlight
on Goth. Welcome to the Apocalypse Video Gothtober Spooktacular. I'm your poser goth host, David Snyder. On tonight's episode, we travel to the Great White North, all the way to Bailey Downs, where two goth sisters have to contend with periods, horny bleacher boys, stupid cheerleader girls, and lycanthropy. It's Ginger Snaps.
So, Fitz, I think we should get together.
No. Out by 16 or dead in the scene, but together forever.
United against life as we know it.
Let's get out of here.
Ginger!
What was it?
A big dog, maybe?
Whoa.
Whoa? That's it? Whoa?
Think you see werewolves a lot?
Did I change last night?
Howl at the moon.
How do you feel?
Wicked.
This is a very confusing time for your sister. Boys, her body, trying to fit in.
Hey, take it easy.
Who's the guy?
She's pretty.
If I wasn't here, would you eat her?
Poor B. I'm growing up, and obviously you're not.
Ah! Oh my god. You think I want to go back to being nobody?
You're so dead.
They're just being normal teenage girls.
I'm not dying in this room with you! I'm not dying!
I think she's gone.
Hello, my fellow goths. We're back. It's the Apocalypse Video Gothtober Spooktacular, and this time things are getting a little hairy. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by my fellow werewolf lycanthropes. I guess that's a little redundant. Kara.
Biology. Now that's something you can sink your teeth into.
Hey, don't you Jesus me, Kara, okay? I'm also joined by my fellow money baller, Andrew.
I can't have a hairy chest bee. That's fucked.
I like underlined that in my notes. It's one of the funniest lines from this movie. So we're talking about Ginger Snaps, and a little background on this movie. This was a movie that's like kind of circled my horror fan radar for some time. I don't know about you guys, but I've known of the existence of this movie for quite some time. I had an inkling that it did have a relatively large cult following, but I think this is the first time I've ever truly seen it. Is this the first for you guys?
Yeah, I didn't know anything about it. Certainly my first time.
I think I've heard it mentioned before just by like you guys. Just in the context of werewolf movies, but I have never seen it. I didn't know what it, like, I didn't know the plot or anything about it or anything.
I was a little nervous going in because I, This was selected as a goth movie for Gothtober, but I wasn't, 100% sure how gothy it was. Needless to say, my fears were, alleviated when the movie immediately started, more or less. And you have these two sisters, Bridget and Ginger, who look like they live in a basement that looks reminiscent of like a prison cell.
Yeah.
It even has like the little flickering light that comes on, and they start making death pictures. They make this solemn vow, like dead before 16 or whatever the line is, and they're making death pictures. And literally, the first appearance of Bridget in this movie, the hero of the movie, is her just like in full goth regalia with like a drill and just kind of looking over as this woman who's distraught over the death of her dog is just crying, and she's just like, Baxter's fertilizer. In that cadence. And I'm like, I kind of sat back in my seat, a breath of relief, and like, okay, this is totally goth.
Baxter's fertilizer. And everyone's just standing there like, staring.
Yeah. See, now I'm not sure about like the difference between goth and emo, or if I'm sure there's crossover there, right? But the fact that our introduction to Ginger is her having a knife and being like, "No, wrists are for girls. I'm slitting my throat." It was like, "All right, no, this is I don't know anything about this movie, but it's a good pick, Dave. Pretty goth."
Honestly, I mean, the final movie for Gothtober is Lost Boys. I've seen that movie. That might be questionable in terms of its gothiness, maybe like, proto-gothiness with the clothing and whatnot, but I'm going to call it right now. This is the gothiest movie of Gothtober. By a mile.
You think it's gothier than The Craft?
I think so. I mean, yes, they're witches. Yes, it's got that goth DNA, but this movie just oozes it's goth from the very beginning.
That's fair.
Almost to the point where, is this like a quintessential goth movie? I think it might be.
Whoa.
We need to find somebody in like the goth community and ask them all these questions.
It should be noted, no one on this podcast is goth. We're all a bunch of posers.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
In fact, I don't even really recall how we settled on Gothtober. I think it got mentioned last year by somebody. I don't remember, in passing. And then naturally, me being me, is like, oh, so next year it's all goth movies, right? Now here we are. But honestly, I'm glad that happened because I'm glad I finally saw this movie because this is like a little hidden gem, I think. Ginger Snaps.
Yeah, I really, really liked... the first, like, 8/9 of it.
8/9?
And I really liked it at the beginning. I thought they did a very good job. I literally thought it was gonna start off with them killing themselves. And I was, they did it. That was very well written. I was like, what are we watching? I thought this was about werewolves.
It's a very interesting opening. It begins with, I mean, to start with the very beginning, we're made aware that there is a beast in Bailey's Down? Is that what it's called? The city? The town?
Oh.
Bailey something?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's the town of Bailey something, and there's a beast running around killing all the neighborhood dogs, and it opens with this kid playing in the sandbox. You don't know what he's playing with, and then all of a sudden he kind of touches his fingers to his lips, and it's all bloody, and you're like, what's going on? And the mom kind of walks over, what you got there, kiddo? And we see that it's their dead dog, Baxter. They follow a blood trail. And I just got to say, I think you mentioned this, Kara. It was a good thing that Jana was not on this episode. Because this movie literally opens with a pretty gruesome dog death. You don't see the death happen or the kill happen, but you see the aftermath. And literally just like into the dog's doghouse, just like the door burst open. There are a lot of mutilated pets.
Many
in this
mutilated pets. Which is very interesting because it seems like at least that first one... it only was interested in pets.
Yeah.
There was like no human deaths.
Yeah, which is kind of, which makes me wonder, is that, because I looked into it, there is not only a sequel to this movie, there is a prequel somehow, and I can only, maybe, I don't know, maybe this werewolf that we see, or that we, in the beginning of the movie is, I don't know, trying to contend, I can't kill humans, I can only kill dogs or pets or something, I don't know, it got me wondering. That's but it is interesting that it seems to only select neighborhood pets, and you don't hear of any people like, oh, so-and-so is missing or missing people. You know, it's just neighborhood pets, which is kind of interesting.
Which I thought was weird, which is one of the, like, things that I was like, that's weird about this movie. Yeah, you know, completely throwing out the, we haven't done a synopsis yet. But, like, the first werewolf only killed pets. There weren't any, like, reports of humans or whatever. But then when Ginger starts turning into the werewolf, she wants to kill people, so I don't understand. Yeah. Like, I need more context and, like, lore.
It could be because Ginger is so goth. You know what I mean? And also, one thing we should point out, we don't know what the previous werewolf situation is, but Ginger's situation, I'm turning into a goth right now, gothanthropy. One of the big angles of this movie is this is a teen movie, coming of age movie, so to speak, and one of the big angles of this movie is that she is having her first period, Ginger.
Yeah.
And it's kind of goes hand in hand with, you know, oh my god, I'm turning into something else, or, you know, that kind of thing. So it makes me wonder, like, was Ginger just not because of the her, you know, becoming a woman, as her mother says, but is it because of her gothness that turns her, that makes her want to lean more towards killing people? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I thought maybe the same thing, is that, oh, maybe she's so drawn to who becomes her boyfriend, I guess, is because, yeah, the puberty is hitting at the same time as turning.
Yes.
And so maybe that's just the right combination. So your transformation is sped up, perhaps. I don't know. But I will say, I also knew about the sequels, well, including the prequel, which...
Ginger Snaps Back.
Yeah. Ginger Snaps Back, the beginning, which I was like, I don't understand how that makes any sense. How do you? But
How do you make a whole movie out of that? They're not werewolves at that point.
But I'll get to it eventually. But that did make me. I think knowing that made me maybe assume certain things about what was to come, or what if there was going to be some sort of twist. But I was kind of relieved that didn't actually end up being the case. That this was more sort of a just down the middle werewolf movie, or teen werewolf movie anyway.
Yeah. There were several, like, I think they do a good job of, like, you know, this movie is also darkly funny. Mm-hmm. Like, it should be pointed out. Like, anytime they showed her werewolf tail developing, I couldn't help but chuckle. Anytime it, you know, I'd imagine, like, there's a little puppeteer with, like, a remote control, like, wiggling the tail. Like, I couldn't help but laugh. And also just the points of, like skipping forward, like, she ends up having werewolf sex with this guy. You know, her hormones are going crazy. They're in the back of a car. She thrashes him, and she does not use protection, and she passes the werewolf infection to this guy. And there's a line later from this guy as he, too, is turning into a werewolf. And also, I think it's should be noted, he's also just covered in acne at that point as well. He's basically just like, let me look up the line here. I want to get this right.
See, I'm up to some whack shit right now. I'm way out on the corner, fucked up and evil. You want to know what I did for fun last night, huh? Huh? I killed my own freaking dog, okay? Now what am I supposed to do about that, huh?
Just like, and those are the lines. I like that this movie has, like, a dark sense of humor, especially with the parents.
Yes.
The mother in particular, played by Mimi Rogers. And I guess evidently, if you look into the trivia, that's what drew Mimi Rogers, who really at this point in time is the only name of this movie. She's really the only, she gets an and in the credits, if you didn't notice. But apparently the dark humor about this movie is what drew her in to accept the role. She's like, this is funny.
You know, she's great.
I mean, and she's good in the movie. And it just, like, I think it reaches an apex towards the end of the movie when she's discovered that, and we're skipping all around, when she realizes that one or both of her daughters have killed somebody. and she's ready to just throw it all away and be like, okay, well.
First thing tomorrow, I'll let the house fill up with gas and I'll light a match.
What?
We'll start fresh, just as girls. It'll be fun.
And I just, at that moment, I was blown back. I was just like, excuse me? And that, the movie went to like another level at that point, and I kind of loved it for that.
What a great mom.
I love how darkly a great mom.
I loved the mom. I thought she was fabulous. She was very funny. Just like your classic, like, oh, I'm the mom and I wear like friends and I'm going to teach you how to do stuff. It's, I loved her very much.
Do you think I should talk to her? Check in?
She thinks it's cool you let us figure stuff out for ourselves.
Oh. Really? Well, I wondered if that approach was working.
So you're saying that my hands-off approach is... I wasn't sure. Oh, that's good to know.
She's so funny. And I love the relationship because it's like she... Bridget knows exactly what to say to like... exactly what buttons to push on her mom to get her to do what she like wants her to do. And I'm just like, that's... fabulous.
What is the line she says, like, when the mom's about to go? Literally, again, another great scene of dark humor when they've accidentally killed Trina, or you know, through accident, Trina dies, the high school bully, which we'll get into in a minute. They put her in the freezer in the basement, and the mom is about to put away some groceries, not realizing there's a dead body in the freezer. And like you said, Bridget knows exactly what to say. Mom, what do I say to boys?
Yeah,
you
know, something like that. To get to and she's just
what
like,
do boys want?
You're asking for my advice.
Yes. And there's a brief pause. The mom is just, you can hear her internal monologue. Finally.
Yes. And
now it's my time to shine.
One of my favorite parts is when it, because then it like cuts to her finishing telling them what boys want, and there's just like a giant plate of cookies on the table. And she's like, this needs cookies, this talk needs cookies and milk.
Well, it's interesting, we don't see the talk, but like you get a sense that the mom is basically just like, all they want to do is have sex, honey. I'm sorry. Like the tone that she is finishing off whatever the story is very much like, and that's kind of how it is, I'm sorry. That's what you're gonna have to contend with for the rest of your life. But yeah, this is a fun coming of age movie, and one of the things I really appreciated most about this, aside from the dark humor, is the level of escalation that this movie has.
Oh yeah,
it's crazy. Like it starts small. Like, well, I don't want to say it starts small with a dog death. The dog death is not a small trivial thing. That's terrible. But it keeps escalating. We're introduced to our characters, and as I said, this is kind of a typical teen drama. So you get like bully, you get our bully characters. Mm-hmm. You get I don't know what game they're playing. It's like they're playing hockey on like a soccer field or something.
Yeah, field hockey, which they played multiple times. I was like, is this PE class do anything else? Are they just always playing field hockey? And there's always dudes, just male students who are allowed to just sit on the bleachers and heckle them the entire time?
Yes.
Cat calls?
I'm like, is this like their homeroom hour? They're free to not do anything? Why are they out there? Why are they allowed to be out there?
Yeah, I mean, the mom's great. The nurse is great. Yeah. I mean, there's some great, you know, female influence characters. But that PE teacher was really slacking. Really.
Well, you telling me. At a certain point, I think it's like the third or fourth scene of field hockey that we're treated to in this movie. You know, someone gets shoved. I think Ginger gets shoved by the mean girl, Trina, into another mutilated dog body on the field. And I'm like, did they just not care?
Yeah.
How did they not notice a mutilated dog body?
Yeah, that was so crazy that, yes, it was Bridget who gets pushed down. She's got blood all over her. And Bridget, right. And the teacher's just like, go get cleaned up. Come on, ladies, break it up. I'm just like, I show a little compassion here, maybe.
Well, I kind of chalk this up to, again, the dark humor that this movie has. Because speaking of people not noticing things, so I guess to get into a plot synopsis, we're jumping all over the place.
Sure.
Basically, we have a coming-of-age teen drama. You have these two sisters, Bridget and Ginger. They're two goths. They're the outsiders of the school. All the mean girls are like bitches to them. You got all these boys on the bleachers just like heckling them and making the ooga noises and all that stuff. And they're trying, you know, they're trying their best just to get through high school. Everything sucks. Their mom sucks. Their dad is basically like a non-existent character. He barely exists. We live in like a prison dungeon, which actually is kind of cool. That fits our lifestyle. And they're just trying to get through. And it is noted in the movie that neither of them have had their first period yet. It's something that they're kind of like afraid. Like, oh God, when's this coming up? Ginger begins to get it. She starts getting back pains. And of course, you know, they have their tough with on the field hockey field, which is where they spend half of their school day playing field hockey. They get into it with Trina and they decide, you know, it'd be cool if we like kidnapped her dog and like pretended it was dead and sent her like death pics, like the death pics we do at home. And so they go to do that. And this is when the werewolf strikes. This is when Ginger snaps. She gets attacked by a werewolf when they're going to kidnap Trina's dog, the mean girl. And this is what sets off this whole, you thought puberty was bad. Well, wait until lycanthropy comes along. And that's got, you know, she kind of, and so you have her turning into a werewolf slowly mixed with her first period and puberty and becoming a woman, as the nurse says, cheerfully.
Barf.
And that's essentially the movie. We get some escalation, which we'll get into. But to get back to what I was saying before of people not noticing things, I think it leads into the dark humor of this movie. No one bats an eye at the fact that Ginger has claws, not nails. I mean, technically they're nails, but they are more like claws and fangs. She develops fangs, and nobody says a word. And it's not like she tries to conceal it when she's talking to people at school. They are clearly visible.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just, the whole time I'm thinking, like, wait a minute. Is it, do people just assume it's a goth thing?
I mean, that's a stretch, but okay, at least it's some justification. But yeah, like after Ginger beats up Tina on while playing field hockey, she has this big, you know, shit-eating grin, and I'm like, you have giant canines. You have straight up fangs, and no one seems to notice. But that maybe a little should have been a little suspicious to somebody.
And they could have at least had a line where someone pointed it out, thinking it was like, oh, Halloween isn't for another 3 weeks. You know what I mean? Something where someone notices it and points it out. It doesn't have to be an elongated sequence. It could have been Trina, the main girl, being like, nice fake fangs. You know, something like that. But no one points it out. And again, I'm doing a little work for the movie, but I can only assume that it's just people being like, it's just those goth weirdos. Anyway. I thought that was kind of funny that no one mentions that, but
so speaking of Ginger's changes, I have to bring this up. So she, and not to jump into your synopsis, Dave, but yes,
I mean that's she turns into a werewolf and she's a crazy teen with hormones. Shit happens. You know, we'll get into details later.
So she does have her period with her changes into a werewolf.
Like a total geyser.
Yeah, so I thought that was
face
hilarious.
Bomb. You couldn't see it, audience. We just have our first face bomb of the episode.
I thought the nurse, two things here. The nurse who's describing, like, no, this is normal. You should expect voluminous, thick, like, just really explaining all the changes she's going to go under. I thought she was great. And especially, you know, shame on Ginger. When provided condoms, she still had unprotected sex. I mean, really, a pretty cool nurse, to be honest.
That nurse was looking out for her.
It's a period.
But really, it was like a geyser.
Mm-hmm. Everyone seems to panic their first time. Now, neither of you have had a period before, and you're how old?
I'm almost 16. She just turned 15. She skipped a grade.
A thick, syrupy, voluminous discharge is not uncommon. The bulk of the uterine lining is shed within the first few days. Contractions, cramps, squeeze it out like a pump. In 3 to 5 days, you'll find lighter, bright red bleeding. That may turn to a brownish or blackish sludge, which signals the end of the flow.
Okay, so it's all normal.
Very. Expected every 28 days, give or take, for the next 30 years.
Great.
let just interrupt really quick because it's about that. I think that this is a fabulous way to trick people into learning about periods. you can get boys in there. They'll be like, oh, this cool werewolf movie. And you sneak in some information about periods. I think it should be on every sex ed list. Because, like, she basically sums it up very scientifically. Like, yes, the uterus lining shreds, and then you have, and that's why you have so much at the beginning. And then when you get the darker, gloopier stuff, that's when it's ending. And I'm just like, this is succinct, straightforward. Everyone would know. And then you can get some werewolf action.
Well, I will criticize her bedside manner towards the end of her speech. Like, I agree with, as you said earlier, 8/9 of her speech. She sums it up with, and that's going to be your life for the next 30 years. You know?
Well, I mean, that's true, Dave. That's true.
I mean, it is true, but
setting expectations.
You know, that's, yes, okay. Cushion
true,
it a little bit.
But you could, you know, sugarcoat it a little bit. Like.
They're adults, Dave. You know, tell it to them straight.
That's true. She's not a little girl anymore. She's exactly. A young woman at this Barf. Point. You can't sugarcoat it.
Barf.
All right. So speaking of periods.
We have one and we have one barf.
All right, speaking of periods, so Kara, I'm sorry, you're the only woman on this podcast, so I have to ask, did you get a period cake from your mom?
Oh, no.
No. I don't know a single person who did. That is one of the things that was just, like, so creepy, and maybe they did it, maybe it was, like, more of a thing, like, I don't know, when did this movie
this
come out?
This was a gag.
When did this movie come out, Dave?
2000.
What in the hell? Okay, maybe it was like, you know, in the older days, people were, they had that mentality. It's like, she's a woman now. Oh, you know, they went from like, oh, she's disgusting, horrible, hide it forever. Then like, oh, she's a woman. And now it's like, no, it's just normal.
I mean, it's a nice gesture, right? She's trying to, it's like, it's a, it's, she's celebrating, right? It's like, hey, you know, you shouldn't feel bad. This is a good thing. Have some cake.
No,
feel
it's very,
good.
Very creepy.
Okay, all right.
You could have just had like a, hey, you know, a knock on the bedroom door. Hey, you know, can we talk real quick? It could have been something like that. Not a, here's a bloody strawberry shortcake period cake.
Just the whole mentality of like, oh, now you're a woman. Like, fuck off. Periods suck dicks. And then I'm going to have to deal with it until I go through menopause, which is also fucking terrible. Great. Thank you so much.
There is I'm wondering, all right, so what did you think? I thought this was kind of, this was well done, I thought. And it really got you into the head of Ginger when, you know, there's a shot when we see her in like a grocery store or something. The camera is low to the ground and it's looking up as she's looking in the feminine hygiene products in the aisle, but the way the shot is framed, it makes it seem like this shelf is like 20 feet high. Like, was this kind of your experience? Like, oh my god, this is like what the hell, you know what I mean?
Luckily,
like,
no,
is this true to life? I guess is what I'm saying.
I think that it probably is for like an oldest girl who doesn't have like a great relationship with their mother, because if you don't talk about it, then you just don't know what the fuck to do. I'm the youngest of three. So I was, you know, way after, so it wasn't like a weird surprise. I knew, and you know, television. So, you know, I was like, ah, oh, yeah, that's fine. There were already like products in the house I could use.
Well, also are tampons, like cereal boxes in that they come with prizes? Cause
like, ooh, this one comes with a free monthly chart.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause yeah, Bridget's like, this one comes with a free calendar. And I was like, that's a good joke, but also. Does that happen?
I don't think that happens. But I think the free calendar is to kind of track your cycle. That's probably what
I figured.
For.
I figured.
I don't.
Are there any like, you know, cereal box mascots on tampons?
Not that I've seen. I think that is a very good scene though, because of the like, you know, super like giant wall of feminine products. Yeah. It can be very daunting. Sure. I think that is a very good shot. Because they were oh god, what the hell do we do? They're not gonna ask their moms, they don't like her. But
well, and then of course they're going to check out, and the horny guy in the bleachers happens to be there, of course. And what is he says something, he offers her a suggestion because he notices she's buying tampons.
Oh, he says, like, my sister likes to get high or something, right? It helps with the pain?
Yes, it helps with the pain. Because, she keeps, like, talking about back pains and cramps and whatnot. Yeah. It's like, you should totally get high with us. And naturally, you know, as the mother tells her later, he's a boy. All he wants is to get laid. You know, and that's all he's out for.
I thought that guy was going to be a lot, like, seedier than he actually was. He was like, we've seen a lot creepier guys in movies. He was, he was creepy, but, like, didn't get too creepy, I feel like. He doesn't reach,
like, Skeet Ulrich levels of creepiness. No. He's
not
like a punk.
Not criminal levels of like, creepiness.
After they slept together, he didn't say anything bad about her. He did tell everybody, but he was like, yeah, she was great. And then he, like, ran away because he was bleeding, but...
Well, it seems as if it's framed like he didn't have time really to start spreading a Skeet Ulrich like crafty rumor.
True.
Like, oh, she's a terrible lay or this or that because it seems as if he's about to tell them that, like, oh, you know, I just had sex, you know, whatever. And then they notice he has like a blood stain on his crotch and he's just like, oh, crap. And he's got to deal with that. So he doesn't have time to spread any lies. He's got his own stuff to worry about at this point.
Yeah, he goes to the urinal and suddenly there's a hose of blood being squirted, which was interesting. I did not expect that. I was like, oh, he's kind of getting going through his own changes here. This is it's a cool visual anyway. But,
yes, the cool visual of seeing a traditional yellow stream of urine turn into a non-traditional blood red stream.
So rad. Probably the raddest gore in the whole movie.
Okay. All right. Well, it was striking anyway.
But yeah, his transformation, let me pull up this guy's name. I think his name is Jason. It's the character's name. Yeah, he has an interesting track because, as you said, he is obviously an asshole, but not to maybe quite as a devious degree as we've seen in other movies on this podcast. However, when he gets infected, he does start to become a little more devious. He also is going through puberty, so he's kind of going through a similar thing that that Ginger is. And we don't see this. This is all off screen. But apparently, as I said earlier, I killed my dog the other day. Now, what the hell am I supposed to do with that? You know, he's getting rapey too. Like at one point, he grabs Bridget or something, and he's mm-hmm. getting all horned up. And that's when the janitor comes in and or maybe it's Ginger comes in and saves her. Anyway,
no, it's the janitor. That poor janitor.
Oh, it's the janitor.
The janitor was nice. He did not deserve his fate. He was a good guy. He saves her there. He's nice to her before. It's just, the janitor bummed me out. I wanted him to live, but.
The janitor is like the first. There are a few deaths that happened before the janitor where you're like, well, like Trina, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
They run into Trina. Trina's upset because it's like, I know you killed my dog. What the hell? You know, and they have this altercation and she ends up slipping on some milk, I believe, and like bashes her head on like a counter, right? Or something like that.
Yeah.
She dies. So technically they didn't kill her, but she is kind of, you know, they're indirectly responsible for her death. But again, Trina is the mean girl. Trina pushed Bridget into a mutilated dog on the field hockey course. So it's like, you don't feel too bad about Trina's death. Also, it's kind of, they sprinkle in the humor of them dumping her body into the freezer in the basement. And then it immediately freezes and they had to get a screwdriver and start like getting her out, which is a great scene. So you don't feel too bad about Trina's death. But yeah, once the janitor dies, Bridget's like, okay, hey, wait a minute. That wasn't a shitty character. That was just a regular guy
that
you killed, you know, and this is the point when Bridget starts to realize, wait a minute, you actually kind of like killing people, don't you? Like, this isn't just like, I have to tear someone up because I'm turning into a werewolf. You're into this. You're into it.
I felt similar that I did when I watched The Craft, where it's like, once they get this power, is that what sort of unleashes their true feelings in that, okay, they were actually bad people all along, or is it just the power that turns them evil, makes them do bad things? It's an interesting, you know, conflicted feeling. But in both cases, I felt worse in The Craft anyway. I felt like, I can't remember the character's name, but she was, Nancy, thank you. She was, no, really?
Yeah, that's right, Nancy.
Okay. She...
The one that goes, oh, you're sorry, you're sorry, you're sorry, you're sorry. Yeah, that was Nancy.
Yeah, she comes from such a horrible home life and had, bad things done to her. And so I felt bad about her ending, being locked in an asylum, because she's just a more forgiving character, I guess. But Ginger, we don't see anything too bad happen to her or anything. There's nothing that makes her so sympathetic that when she starts killing people, it's easy to forgive. So it was an interesting realization for Bridget to be like, oh yeah, wow, actually maybe I didn't know you the way I did. I thought I did. Yeah.
Because, you know, they get teased, but like there's no scenes of like, there's not a Carrie scene when Trina and the other mean girls like dump blood on her. There's actually, I kind of think of it there. I don't think we see any scenes of them getting bullied necessarily. Well, they get like catcalled. They get, harassed in that sense by the boys on the bleachers.
Bridget gets bullied by Trina, but.
Oh, that's right. She gets shoved on the field.
Ginger, nobody really fucks with her. They're just like, yeah, they're weird.
If anything, actually, like in class, when they do their presentation with showing all their death shots, I know the boys are clapping just because they, they think they're hot or whatever, but the whole class seems to be into it. They seem to be they're like, wow, that was cool. Like everyone but the teacher is all on board. So yeah, I don't see any bullying.
Yeah, that teacher's line, well, that was clearly disturbing. Again, there are a lot of great lines in this movie that I love.
They have great lines.
Up a good point, because there are no overt scenes of like, I mean, aside from maybe, Bridget getting shoved like on the field hockey field. There's no scenes when they're like having to contend with like, oh God, they constantly bully us, or they're pulling all these pranks on us and they've humiliated us in front of the entire school. None of that happens. Like at most, we're led to believe like, they're just sort of generally bullied, like off screen, maybe. It's not really shown. And yeah, you bring up a good point where it's just like, oh, you're just kind of generally a sicko, aren't you?
Yeah, it wasn't like their gothness is not like, oh, I hate everyone. I'm such a victim. It was more so just like the world sucks, or like why bother? Which I think is, I mean, listen, I'm not trying to speak up for the goth community. Again, I'm not a member. I would love to be educated, but it seems more like that's in line with like just what's the point? I know that. Seems more true gothy, I guess.
And it does seem to be mostly Ginger who's like has this obsession with death, and Bridget kind of just like follows along because she's like the younger sister. And so she's
the
like,
mom
oh,
does say like you don't have to follow her everywhere.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm also obsessed with death, but you don't have to be. And I understand that. I'm the younger sister. You kind of want to do the things that your older sister does, but nah, I wouldn't. I don't know if I'd do that.
Well, and she has that moment at the end when Ginger goes, when she fully snaps and becomes a full-on werewolf, which this hasn't been said yet, but I think the practical effects in this movie are pretty good considering low budget this movie was. Mm-hmm. And I think they don't show you too many full shots of the werewolf or Ginger and werewolf foam. They know when to cut. You see just enough. It's like Jaws, basically. You see just enough to get an idea of what it looks like in your head. And there's a couple of cool shots where like Ginger like jumps up on the table in full werewolf form. You know, they do a great job of that. But there's a moment when it's the climax of the movie. They're back at home. We got to go back to the, I don't remember what it's called. It's essentially like Wolfsbane. It's like a flower that the mother finds at a craft store.
Lungfood.
And that's what we'll use to inject it into Ginger. And that will be the cure. But there's a moment when like, oh, we haven't mentioned this character.
Sam!
The drug dealer character, Sam, he's the one that helps Bridget, because he's the one that actually kills the original werewolf that bites, that slashes Ginger. He's the drug dealer school. He's driving in his van. He's completely runs over this werewolf in a spectacular creature getting run over scene. Like you hear the bum, 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 and the front of his van is covered in blood. Like just like someone just like, Nickelodeon just splashed it, and it is covered, and he realizes this is a werewolf too. And he helps them. But anyway, skipping forward to the end of the movie, he gets thrashed by Ginger. He gets killed. And this is the moment, because Bridget at this point has been infected as well by the wolf blood, and she sees the blood. She puts her hand in, she starts like licking it, like, "Ooh, do I like this?" And then no, she starts puking it up. Ginger gets pissed because Ginger's like, you're wasting perfectly good human blood. What are you doing? And she's like, I can't be like you. I'm not a sicko. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not full goth. I'm only a goth poser, okay? It's like, I can't follow you down this path. But yeah, I lost my train of thought.
It's a nice moment for Bridget because she does very stupidly.
She's her own person at this point. You're like, no, I'm not like you.
Yeah. Sam is like, what are you doing, Bridget? You're an idiot. And you're like, yes, you are an idiot. Cause she cuts her hand and cuts Ginger's hand and she infects herself because she's trying to get Ginger to like trust her again or whatever. And then they go back home where she's like, we can make more of the thing. And we can cure her or whatever. And so I think, like, until that point with the blood, she's still trying to be like, no, we're sisters. No, we're the same. No, we're sisters. And then finally she's like, no, I'm not eating this gross blood.
Yeah. It's like, I turned myself into a werewolf just to get on your side so you wouldn't be mad at me anymore. Yeah. Because up to that point, the rift is growing and growing. Like, you killed that poor janitor. He was only helping me, you know, and then you killed him and you brutally did it and you enjoyed it. Like, I can't follow you down this path. It's like, well, what do I have to do to show you, though, that I'm your sister and, you know, I'll follow you to the end. I'll make myself a werewolf. But when it comes to the point of drinking my friend Sam's blood, that's where I got to draw the line, Ginger.
I'm so confused about Sam because from what we see from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie, he's like, you're like, Sam's great. He believes her that it's, you know, he's like, yeah, it's a fucking werewolf. They exist. Let's fucking solve this problem. They immediately are friends. The Ginger's like, oh, he's a creep. He's like, I don't want to sleep with this 15-year-old. Thank you, though.
Well, because we should point out that Sam's reputation in the beginning of the movie is established. Like, oh, he sleeps with Trina.
Yes.
Like, he's a dirtbag drug dealer.
And Trina's like, oh, he's a cherry chaser, which I assume means he just wants to sleep with virgins and then leave them. And I'm like, if that's true, that doesn't really line up with what we see of Sam. So I just don't know what to believe.
Yeah, he's kind of a confusing character. Because, I mean, on one hand, we're only hearing that from Trina, who sucks.
Yeah.
So maybe not true. But on the other hand, yeah, I mean, he seems like he's older than them. And he shows up to sell pot to high schoolers and then lives in like a community greenhouse. Like, does he have a house? Does he have a family? He's just always at this greenhouse where it has like a party for high schoolers. He's kind of a skeezy dude. You'd think he would be anyway.
Yeah.
But every interaction we have with him, he seems like a straight up guy.
Yeah,
he seems like
nice.
A real nice.
Like, he's never verbally abusive, really, when he's talking to Bridget or Ginger, even when he knows that she's a werewolf. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't seem overtly abusive and verbally. He only wants to help. It's never revealed that he has any ulterior motives.
Yeah.
He's just straight up like, you're a werewolf, like, we need to stop this.
Even Ginger's like, hey, you want to have sex? And he's like, no, I don't. Get off me, you're a werewolf.
Yeah.
He's not like, oh, yeah, let's have some sex.
Well, I will say, like, you know, at no point during that interaction when Ginger's trying to sleep with him is he like, you know, I'm into this. But I will say he could have been a little more assertive with get off me. Like, it seemed like it was skirting that line of get off me, but also like, oh, I'm kind of into this. You know what I mean? Like, he knew she was a werewolf. She looked like a werewolf. It wasn't, you know, you can't explain it away as like, you know, when she walks into this party in the greenhouse that he's inexplicably throwing for the high school, you know, she has like the werewolf kind of makeup on or whatever. And a lot, you know, naturally, a lot of the people at the party are like, oh, great costume. But when she walks into Sam's private staff only room and she like opens up her shirt, there's like weird, you know, shit going on, and it's like at that point you're like, that is clearly not a costume. She is turning into a werewolf, and I know because I'm trying to actively cure her from being a werewolf.
I did also have that thought where I was like, just push her, but
push
maybe
her.
Maybe
yes.
He didn't want to like make her mad so she would attack
exactly
him.
Yeah, to be forgiving of Sam,
to be forgiving
of the movie and of Sam, because again, yeah, I agree, he could have turned her down way quicker.
Yes.
But maybe he was just like, well, I mean, she's a werewolf. I am scared here, so I guess I'll just play along here. Hopefully Bridget shows up here soon and diffuses the situation.
It would have maybe helped it a little bit if there was, like, you know, one of those, like, typical scenes where, like, she's on him and, you know, the camera's panning up on the bed. They could have had a shot of him, like, you know, his hand reaching down, like, to grab, like, a syringe or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Trying to, like, coyly, like, oh, what am I reaching for? You know what I mean? They could have done that. They didn't do that.
No, but I have that. I had that same thought where I was like, why is he taking so long to do anything?
But, you know, in all fairness,
yes.
Who's to say how we would react if a werewolf is, like, getting on you? It's like Andrew said, it's like, you know, it's a werewolf. You don't necessarily want to upset her, but you also want to get the hell out of the room as fast as you can. You're like, how do I go about doing this? You might be stricken with fear. Lord knows, like, if a spider was, like, in the area, I would be Jeff Daniels stricken with fear, too. I know I need to get the hell out of there, but it's, you know, you're paralyzed. Yeah. Maybe it was just he's paralyzed by fear. If I'm doing work for the movie.
Yes, if we're giving Sam some grace.
And doing work for Sam, because everything else we see, he's a stand-up guy. He really goes above and beyond. After having his arm broken by Ginger, he's still like, no, Bridget, I'm with you. We're going to cure her. And he gets torn to shreds trying to. So, yeah, I mean, I'm standing up for Sam. I believe it.
He's, like, emotionally supportive, too. Yeah. Because when he presents this cure, this is the moment when... Because we should note that Bridget makes him think that she is the one that's stricken with it. You know, mm-hmm. She wants him to think she's helping her. But, you know, Sam isn't a dummy. He's like, so clearly this is for your sister Ginger, who's totally turning into a werewolf, yes. right? And it's totally obvious. You are, like, calm and collected. She is just, like, you know, a freak. But there's a moment when he presents her with the cure and he tells her, he reveals that he knows Ginger is the one who is actually infected. And he's like, hey, so just so you know, this may kill her. We don't know if this will cure her. This may kill her. He's trying to be emotionally supportive. Yeah. He's just like, are you ready for this? You know what I mean? He could have just been like, all right, let's kill this bitch. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You know, he could have been like that, but he wasn't. He was emotionally supportive. He knows that this is her sister we're talking about here. It's like, I need to... you know, present this in a way. It's like, hey, just so you realize the gravity of what you're about to get into. Like, he's a stand-up guy. He's a drug dealer. He's a dirtbag. But he's also kind of a stand-up guy.
Understand you may kill her trying to save her.
What?
It's for Ginger, isn't it? Look, worst case scenario... you put her out of her misery. Just as long as you're prepared for that, and I mean, sure. Try to come tonight.
He doesn't ever try to kill her. Like, because they take her back to the house and she fully transforms to a werewolf, and they, you know, hide in the pantry and make more of the monkshood, serum, and he's like, I'll do it. Not like, oh, I'll attack her, oh, I'll kill her. We gotta abandon this line of thinking. We just have to kill her because she's a full werewolf now.
Yeah.
He's like, no, we'll try it. We can still try it. And you're like, well, that's great, Sam.
Unfortunately, he immediately gets, like, pulled out of that closet, just, like, torn to shreds.
That's not so great. But Jana has seen this, and before we watched it, she was warning me, and she was like, and I have to warn you, a good character dies. And then as soon as they were, like, in the pantry, I was like, uh-oh. Oh, no.
Poor Sam. Oh, no.
You didn't think she meant the janitor?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was like, oh, no,
I like Sam. The janitor, but yeah. Yeah. But I like Sam, too. Sam seemed cool, and yeah, it was an unfortunate fate for him. Before we get to the very end of the movie, because I think right before this, you know, their mom comes and picks up Bridget, and they're looking for Ginger, while Ginger and Sam are canoodling. So the mom had found the fingers and sort of plays it off with the dad. Oh, no, no, it's from when their death scenes,
the severed
right?
fingers of Trina when they accidentally chipped her fingers off with the taser.
Yes. She's like, no, they're fake, ha, ha, ha. But she realizes, oh, no, these are real. Again, super cool mom, not ratting him out, goes and finds Bridget. And so now this was where the movie, I was a little led astray by knowing of the sequels, where I was like, well, if we're going back for a prequel in the number three, maybe there's some origin here. Like line. Maybe they were born to be werewolves, always. Yes. That's why the mom's so obsessed with these periods, is that once you become a woman, quote unquote, you're actually becoming a werewolf too. And she's been waiting for this, but
is this a teen wolf situation?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But, no, she's just a real, I mean, crazy noble or crazy dedicated. What's the word
supportive.
I'm looking for? Supportive mom, where she's like, nope, yeah. I realize you two killed someone. We're just going to burn the house down.
Yes. I love the way she puts it. Tomorrow morning, I'll fill up the house with gas and light a match and we'll start anew.
Just us girls. She's like, no, we don't need the dad.
Yeah, it's like, what about dad? And she's like, yeah, he probably thought this was coming anyway. I don't know. Again, the dad is kind of a non-character. The dad is like the sort of typical like absentee parent in movies like this where he just has no clue. But yeah, it's funny that there's like as far as the home life goes for Bridget and Ginger, they're not abusive parents in any way.
Mm-mm.
Like no. I would say like again, the worst would be the dad is just sort of like just kind of clueless. And the mom is I guess just kind of generally weird. We find out as the movie progresses, but they're not like abusive in any way, physically or verbally. And there's no apparently the mom is super cool with letting them live in what appears to be an unfinished basement that seems like to have more in common with the prison cell than a rumpus room downstairs. But yeah, that is kind of an interesting point. And I was kind of torn when the movie ended. So to jump ahead, our poor friend Sam dies.
Oh, R.I.P.
Bridget gets kind of cornered in the basement from Ginger. She tells her, she's conflicted. Ginger snaps. She jumps at Bridget. And rather than stick her with the cure, she sticks her with the knife. She kills Ginger, and there's this sweet moment where she sort of just embraces her sister as the sister's like, clinging to life. You see the stomach moving, and then she stops breathing. And there was a moment because like Bridget has like the syringe with the cure in one hand. She's like, and you start to think like, is she going to stick herself or is she going to stick Ginger to maybe try to save her? She does not do either. Ginger just dies, and the movie cuts. And here is where I'm kind of torn because you mentioned the sequels, and I'm like, do I even want a sequel? Does this need a continuation? I don't know if it does. I kind of the movie ends in kind of a sweet way. It reframes the opening with all their death pictures because the movie, like the opening credit sequence, is this montage of their death pictures as they're making all these death pictures for this project for I don't know what class in high school. And then the movie reframes that at the end when suddenly you start seeing these death pictures again and it takes on a different meaning and. The movie just kind of ends, and I don't know. Are you guys left wondering where this story goes from here?
I didn't like the ending. I was like,
you did say you didn't like the last ninth.
No, I didn't like the last ninth of it because I was like, just stick her. It took so long, and I was like, why are you just doing nothing? Why are you running away? Why did you grab this knife? You had a plan to stick her with the syringe. You're being very weird and wishy-washy, and now you're just sitting there like a weirdo. And then I was like, just stab her with the syringe. What are you doing? And then she stabs her with the knife instead. And I was like, what the hell is happening?
Well, could that be argued? Because she is lunged at by a giant werewolf. Do you think maybe it was just an involuntary reaction, like a defense?
I can say yes, maybe that was the involuntary. But it wouldn't have happened if she had just stuck with her plan of doing the syringe thing in the first place. I don't know why she took so long and did all these other things. She's like, oh, I gotta run over here, I gotta run over here.
It is odd because like there's a shot when she because she drops the syringe earlier in the scene and then she notices it and she's like, oh crap, I gotta go for that syringe. But yeah, there is no moment where she's like, the syringe, I gotta stick her with the syringe. That never happens.
She stabs her. She's still alive when she gets stabbed. You could go stick her now. She's not gonna attack you. She got stabbed. Then take her to the hospital.
She could die as a human.
I was very, I was just like, I don't understand what the hell is going on. And I guess I just didn't understand in the movie, like the switch in Bridget where she was like, okay, it's better for Ginger. It's better for the world or whatever. If we just let her die.
Yeah.
Instead of try to cure her.
Maybe it would have been I don't know. Like, I don't see why she couldn't, a thing like, oh, God, like, I'll try to cure her now. Like she realizes, like, oh, I messed up. I accidentally stabbed her. Cure her. And now she's dead. Like, I was too late. It could have been, the typical tragic werewolf ending where, like, oh, no, like, you're dead now. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's a little too typical. Maybe they didn't want it to go in a different direction. But, yeah, I kind of agree with you. It's just like, why didn't she stick herself at that point? Okay, Ginger's dead.
I was just like, you're doing nothing. Do something. Why are you doing nothing?
Well, or could it have been that at that point, the filmmakers are like, you know what? We're just having too much fun with this movie. We're going to make another movie.
Well, and so, yeah, that's why I didn't love the ending either. I guess maybe they had a sequel in mind all along, but I kind of doubt it. But she takes a long, long time after Ginger's stabbed to be like, should I use the needle? Should I not? I guess I'll just hug her. Fine. But then it cuts to black, and I'm like, what?
Happened to Sam? Well, Sam dead. What happened to the mom? You know what I mean? Because she's still stuck back in the freaking greenhouse party.
And so Bridget, I guess Bridget now has to deal with, okay, I got a dead monster in my house. I have a dead friend in my house. I got a dead mean girl in the backyard. Like, and her whole house is torn out. I was like, this is pretty bad for Bridget. I don't know. It's a weird cut to black, in my opinion. I'd like to see some sort of more resolution after that. But
an epilogue.
Yes. I want to see that Bridget's okay, because she really, I mean, she was great the entire time.
Yeah, she kind of got the short end of every stick that was handed to her. Yeah.
Her friend, her only friend dies. Her sister dies.
Oh, man. What if at the end of the movie, just to make it even worse, you know, she stands up like, I can't believe my sister's dead. And then suddenly you start to hear a drip. She looks down.
No!
Oh, well, isn't that great? Now this happens.
Now that's a sequel.
Then cut to black. Well, I don't know. Any other closing thoughts on Ginger Snaps?
I do have.
All right, we just cut to black.
All right, I have one to two thoughts. Let me look at my notes really quick. I did think that it was funny, because I did think that there was a lot of parts of it were funny. I was laughing a lot the first 8/9 of this movie, but
I love that you refer to it as 8/9.
It's very exact,
because it's like, if there's just a little part of it that I didn't, it's just 1/9 that I didn't like, because I did the majority.
Why not
of
9/10?
That's too small.
9/10 is too much.
It's a pretty long final scene. Like, it's closer to 2 hours than an hour and a half, like your standard horror movie.
It did seem a little long. Like, they could have cut some stuff, I think.
When Jason, you said his name was, the guy that she infects, like an STD.
Oh, the horny dude?
Yeah. When he
ends up getting cured, by the way.
Yeah.
She sticks him with the cure, and that's what I guess it works.
Gee, damn. One thing. she gets, when she's like running to go to the party, she gets distracted because she hears a kid yelling for help. And it's Jason like trying to attack him. But that little kid is dressed like a dog because it's Halloween. And I was like, what is with these werewolves going after dogs? Even this little kid is dressed like a dog. I thought that was very funny. But she
isn't that kind of like killing their own kind to an extent? Like, can a dog be sort of an ancestor?
Maybe that's kind of like, we just need like a book of werewolf lore for this movie. Because maybe it is like a more an animal hunter thing and not so much a person thing. But
you know what this scene, you know what this movie could have used? A scene of them talking on Google FaceTime or something like that. You know, talking to an expert over a computer.
Yes, like, here, I've studied lycanthropy for, I have my PhD.
Well, I guess this is the year 2000, so that predates Google. So it would be more like, or, you know, the FaceTime, whatever. It would be more like, they're in the library looking through microfilm or something.
Yes.
Sam says he has a book that talks about lycanthropy, so he could have easily just read a page or two real quick and gave us some really needed background.
I think we've just discovered that this movie's not long enough. It needs more. Oh. And then one other. So I thought that was funny that the little kid was dressed like a dog. But
I don't think I didn't notice that, but that makes all the sense in the world, weirdly.
And then when they accidentally, when Trina dies, and then they're, like, burying her in the backyard, I was like, what the hell are you doing? There's literally a monster that's mauling things pretend that that happened to her. Don't bury her in your backyard.
Well, because I had that thought too, but they don't have a vehicle. I mean, I guess they could have just stolen the mom's van or whatever it was, but I did have that thought too. Like, why are they putting it in the backyard? Just like, we've had several scenes of them going out to the nearby forest. Just like, drag it out there and dump it.
Yeah, and like, you know, maul it up a little. She is a werewolf. Just maul it up a little bit. Yeah, it's
like, okay, I know I don't like what you're doing, Ginger, but for right now, go crazy. Just go crazy. Make it look like a beast mauled her, which technically is true.
Yes! You get one free pass.
You get one free pass. I'm giving you this free pass to go nuts. I will look the other way. You go crazy.
Oh, man. And then, okay, so this might be a dumb question. This is all like a metaphor for puberty, right? The turning into monsters.
I think so. They're pretty, it seemed like the movie was making that pretty hand in hand.
And I did think that was funny that the
how many people have you mauled, Kara?
I will not say that on the record, Dave. You can't trick me into that.
Off
the record.
Off mic, we'll talk about that.
And I did think it was funny that the werewolf transformations were like indicative of the classic puberty symptoms, like the guy got all the acne and he got all like weird, and the girl got her period. So I thought that was interesting.
I like how they tied that together again, like make it like tie it back into being like a coming of age teen drama that also happens to be a werewolf movie.
But I think this, I said it earlier, but I think this should be, even though I didn't like the last 1/9 of it, I think this should be like required viewing in sex ed classes. But you have to talk about like the metaphors, but because it just gives you a lot of good information about it.
You need a permission slip. It is a gory movie.
Well, yes.
There's a few F words thrown around there. Both versions of the F word, unfortunately, I should point that out. We get the other F word once or twice, just, you know, just an FYI. But yeah, I would agree. Well, actually, I don't know if I would show this in classes. I think you're going a bit far. I can't follow you down this road. I think you snapped, Kara. Kara snaps. Maybe if you just take that one scene with the nurse, like, you know, telling Ginger about periods and what all that entails. If you want that little snippet, sure. The whole movie, you might need a permission slip from mom and dad.
You gotta give them a little bit of werewolf or they won't come.
Yes. That's a good point. That's how you get the kids in with the blood and with the corpse goo, as we said.
Yeah, the corpse goo. So much corpse goo. So much corpse goo in this one.
They love Nickelodeon. They love slime. They love corpse goo. Kids are gross. That's ultimately our point. Well, if we're getting into recommendations, I would definitely recommend this movie. I had a fun time with it. There were some general like genuine laughs, some genuine scares. Like I thought the sound effects too for the wolf were really well done and scary, and there were some likable characters in the movie. Again, Sam is a little murky. Like he's painted to be a dirtbag, but we don't really see that. So I had a great time with this movie. I could see why this became a cult movie, why it garnered a cult following.
Yeah, definitely a recommendation from me. I think it kind of drags a bit at the end, but overall, a good time. Lots of funny lines, really decent effects, like you were saying, and definitely a recommendation.
I think I'd recommend it. It's just that ending, man.
You liked literally 90% of the movie.
You've said it many times now.
I know, but that ending was so... It made me so mad, but I don't know if it ruined the whole movie, but maybe if I watched it again, having this conversation, I would have liked it more. I'm like an 8/9 recommend.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, 8/9 recommend. 1/9 don't watch it.
I think it's ironic too. You're literally wearing a shirt that says the Oceanic 9.
Wow.
What is it with you and the number 9, Kara?
Interesting.
You'll find out later.
Oh my God. Are you a witch too? Are you not a werewolf? You're a werewolf witch.
Oh, wow.
Everyone else grades on a 10-point scale. You grade on a 9-point scale.
That should be a movie, Werewolf Witch.
Yes. Now that's an ending. It turns out not only she's a werewolf, she's also a witch. Sequels galore.
Oh, well, that was Ginger Snaps, folks. Excuse me. I'm sorry. That was the wrong voice. <clears throat> So that was Ginger Snaps. When the Gothtober Spooktacular concludes, we'll be going from Ontario. We didn't mention this movie is Canadian, by the way. Bridget says Suri a few times.
She does.
But when the Apocalypse Video Gothtober Spooktacular returns, we'll be driving down from Ontario all the way down to Santa Clara with the Lost Boys.
You need steam, yeah.
All right. Well, that was completely disturbing, wasn't it? My God. I mean, I am completely sickened. Right? Sickened by that. Wasn't I?